I'm here with Gordon Hogenson, a programming writer on the Visual Studio User Education team. So, Gordon, what F-sharp feature are you going to talk about today?
Well, I thought you can't really do a whole lot of F-sharp programming unless you use lists. So I thought I'd talk a lot about F-sharp lists. Is the F-sharp list is an immutable data type. So that means that once you create a given list, then you don't add or remove elements. And if you want to make modifications to your list, then you actually end up creating a new list. So the thing about that is that you can actually do a lot of, the compiler can do some optimizations because it knows that the lists aren't going to be changing and nodes aren't going to be changing. Then let's say you create a list that say adds an element or something. It doesn't actually add an element to the original list, it just creates a new list with this extra element. But behind the scenes, it's probably reusing the same set of elements from the original list. But because they're immutable, the compiler can actually do that without fear of those elements changing in one list and not the other. So doing this really helps in a lot of different ways. So having immutable data types, for example, works really well with concurrent applications where you might have multiple threads operating on lists. If you know that a given list isn't going to be changing, then you eliminate all the concerns about a list being modified by one thread and then communicating that change to all the different copies of that list on different threads and all kinds of other problems and potential bugs become a lot less likely to occur. So that's one of the big advantages of immutable lists. So let's look at some examples of lists.
Okay.
So we'll start off with very simple, like how would you actually create a simple list of elements? And you can use this sort of bracket notation with semicolons between each element to create a list. And so here's a couple lists. There's a few operators that you'll want to know about in working with lists, like the cons operator. So here's the cons operator, the double colon. Cons indicates adding to the beginning of a list. So the first argument in the cons operator is an element type, and then the second argument is a list type that has the appropriate element types, and both have to match. So 3 is an int, and list 2 is a list of ints, so this is fine. We can add 3 to that list. So, we'll just run this code as we go, so you can see that indeed 3 is added to the beginning of the list. Now the append operator combines two lists together in a fairly sort of compact syntax. We can run that, and we can see that that works as you might expect. So again, behind the scenes, even though technically this is a new list, list 4, it's probably reusing the same nodes. So it's efficient as far as memory and performance. Well, so then what can we actually do with lists? Well, since you use lists very often, it's worthwhile to, first of all, know what's in the list type itself and what you can do with that. We've seen some of that. But then also you're going to want to look at the list module. So the list module is capital list, and then it has various functions. Now those functions, because they're module functions, they're like static functions, and they don't work with an instance, but most of them take a list as an argument. And usually the list is the last argument, and then something else is an earlier argument. So iterate means to go through the list and run a function which you specify for each element of the list. A lot of times, you can certainly write a function out and call list.iter with that function, but a lot of times it's really convenient to use the lambda expression syntax when you're using lists. And the lambda expression syntax begins with fun, which is shorthand for function, which is just a function that's being defined on the fly. It doesn't have a name associated with it. It's just something we want to do on each list element. And so one of the most simple things that you can do is just print out something. So we use that here. We just say, here's the parameter list, which is just the element. And then we print out a little note that says what the element is. So if I run this, it will simply say, for each element, it'll run that, print that message. So, you know, it's useful to know what variations might exist, what else you can do with the iteration. Because, you know, you sometimes need the index. So this version is very much like the standard iteration, except that it also takes an additional argument in this anonymous function, which is the integer, and that's just the index of the element. And so if we run that, then it says, you know, element 0 is 1, element 1 is 2, and element 2 is 3. So we're using the index as well as the element. And then there's some variations that use two lists, which you'll often have two lists that have information sort of correlated in each list, and the lists have to be the same length when you do this. But it certainly I can, let's just run both of these. These two list versions are basically the same as the one list versions, except that the function now takes an extra argument for the element of the second list. And so I can say, you know, the elements of the two lists are 1 and 4, 2 and 5, 3 and 6, or I can actually take the version that has the I, the index, and print out the index also. Okay, well, that's one of the basic functions that you'll use all the time. The other one that you'll probably use a lot is the map function. So the map function is one of these functions that generates a new list. Iterate just returns unit, so it doesn't actually generate a new list at all. It just does something. So the map function runs a function, but it runs a function that returns a new value, and then all the new values get put into a new list. So here we're going to specify a lambda expression that tells you how to convert one element into the new element. It doesn't have to be the same type, but in this case it is. So in this case we're just adding one to all of the elements. So if I run that code, then you'll see that it added one to each list element. The original list was 1, 2, 3, and now we have list 2, 3, 4. You know, it's useful to know the variations. A lot of these functions in the list module, and actually a lot of the collection modules, will have a number at the end, and usually that just means that it can operate on more than one collection. And so there's map 2 and map 3, and those versions just take multiple lists. And so we can run these, and can verify that that's what's the expected behavior based on the functions that we provided. You know, there are other useful functions. Now, collect is kind of an interesting one that you might use a lot. And what that does is it lets you, so map lets you create a value. But if you wanted to create a number of values that for, you know, this is sort of a one-to-many situation instead of a one-to-one situation with the map. So in this case, we'll do a little loop and we'll generate three different values for every value of the original list. So if we run that, then we get a whole list of multiples. Well, we multiplied each element of the original list, and so we get 1, 2, 3, 2, 4, and 6, and 3, 6, and 9, multiplied by 1, 2, and 3. Another one is the map I. So if you looked at iter I, we looked at iter I, and that just takes the index. Map I also takes an index, and map I2 is a function that takes, that works with two lists and also takes the index. So those, by now, should be, you could almost predict what they do based on what you already know about, you know, how iter I differs from iter and how iter I2 differed from iter I. And those also do kind of the expected thing based on that. So another thing you probably do a lot is filtering lists. So you'll have a list of a bunch of elements, and then you really only want elements that meet some certain filtering criteria. And so you'll pass a function which will return a Boolean value. So in this case, I'm just going to pass a function that selects even numbers. So if I run even only, which is looking at a full list of one numbers from 1 to 6, then it just returns 2, 4, and 6 in a list. So list.filter is very useful. You know, you want to know what the properties of lists are, because these are, well, they're simple, basic ones. The, you know, testing for emptiness, the length you use all the time, looking at the head and the tail of the list. And these can be chained together as I'm doing here, list.tail.head or whatever. List1.tail.head would actually get the second element of a list, because it's the head of the tail of the list. And this one gets the third element of the list, list.1.tail.tail.head. Okay, so let's look at a little bit more interesting example. So here's a multiple, example where we're looking at the initial list of 1 to 100, but then we want to just get the list of prime numbers. And so essentially, we can do some list processing and use, you know, some filtering and some calculations to sort of use this method called the sieve of Eratosthenes, which is an old algorithm for determining prime numbers. And what we'll do is we'll take the original list of 1 to 100 and we'll remove all the multiples of 2. And then we'll remove all the multiples of 3. And then all the multiples of each of the remaining prime numbers in that list to ultimately get only the prime numbers. And when we do that, we'll make sure we don't remove the prime number itself. So we'll define a function, is prime multiple test, which will just tell us whether it's a multiple, and then the only twist on that is that if it actually equals the number, then you know, we keep it in. And so we also test for that. Now, the function remove all multiples is this recursive function, and it's taking a list of the numbers that we've removed, that we're going to remove, and then it's also taking the list that's gradually getting smaller of number as we remove each number from it. So that, so list n is the number, the numbers to remove, and then list x is the list as it's getting smaller. The original list of 1 to 100, and then the list as each successive number gets filtered out of it. So here we're using pattern matching yet again, and we're using the cons operator that we saw earlier, except this time the cons operator is used in a pattern matching expression. So we have the pattern that we're matching here is head and tail. And head and tail then will get the values of the head of the list, so and then the tail of the list, which is the entire rest of the list. So the head is the first element. So if we call, so in that case, we're going to remove all multiples again. So we're going to have a call here back to the function, except this time we're going to pass the tail of the list as the numbers to remove, which is basically gradually reducing the list of numbers to remove. And then we're going to pass the list that's then filtered with this test function. And then, so then the termination case is when the list of numbers to remove is just the empty list. And for that, then we just return the filtered list. So eventually we'll return the filtered list. Anyway, the bottom line here is that we have a function that just gets the primes up to a certain number. And we'll create our list of numbers to remove by looking at just the square root of that number, which is a standard way of doing these kind of algorithms. And then we'll call remove all multiples, and 2 to the square root of that number will be the list of numbers to remove, and then 1 through that number will be the list of numbers that we're going to be removing from. Anyway, so we've tested all that. And we find that, you know, it generates the expected output. And we might say 2 to n, since 1 isn't really a prime number, and make sure that actually gives us just prime numbers. One that you'll use probably fairly frequently is find. And find takes a Boolean expression, which is the test to run on each function. So here I've created actually a function called isDivisibleBy, which lets us find elements in a list which are divisible by a specified number, which takes two arguments, the number and then the list element. Now when I call list.find, I use this mechanism called currying. So now instead of putting a full call to isDivisibleBy, where I give both the number I want to divide by and the list element, I'm actually just going to specify the name of the function and then the first argument. So this expression here is sort of an incomplete function call, and basically what it is it's now a new function that's sort of been implicitly defined here, which really is the original function with one of the arguments sort of pre-applied, and then it's waiting for the second argument. So the second argument is the list element. So basically this lets us find the first element, which is divisible by 5 in a list. So we can run this, and of course the number is 5 in that list from 1 to 100. And there's a whole variety of different find functions. We'll just look at a few. You can certainly look in the list module to find more. But another one is find the index. So here, instead of returning 5, which is the actual value of the element, we're going to return the index of the element, which, because it's the elements start at 1 and the indexes start at 0, the actual value returned there is 4. Everything else is the same. You're going to want to sort your lists. There's the basic sort, which uses kind of a generic comparison, which F-sharp provides, which works for a lot of types. And if you want it to work with your type, there's a way of getting that to happen. You can implement iComparable. But in this case, we take a list of integers that is unsorted. We simply pass it to list.sort, and it returns a list where the elements are ordered by increasing value. If that's not quite what you want, you can use sort by, and you can provide your own sorting function. So here, a lambda expression, which takes the absolute value of each element. So instead of sorting by the element value, I can now sorting by the absolute value of the element. And then there's also a third variation called sort with, which is where we take a more complex function. So sort with uses a comparison function which is, in this case, is compare widgets. So compare widgets, it takes two arguments, which are both widgets, and then it compares, in this case, the widget ID, and then if the ID is the same, then it compares the widget revision number. And so that's the more complex sort function that we're passing. So we can run this little example. And yeah, you could verify that this sorts by ID, and if the IDs are the same, then it sorts by their revision number. There are some basic sort of mathematical functions. Now, this is a list of integers. There's a generic plus operator that works with a whole variety of types. And if the type of the list element supports the plus operator, then you can use list.sum to sum the elements. And you can also use sum by, which lets you take a function you are to run on each element before adding it together. So if you wanted the sum of the squares, you could create a little lambda expression that returns the square of each element and compute the sum of the squares of the elements in a list. And then a few other functions like tail and toArray, we can demonstrate. These are pretty self-explanatory, converting from a list to an array and computing the tail of the list. So next time, I'll talk about folds on lists, which is an interesting area that lets you perform computations on list elements, where the computations are built up as you go through the list. So next time, we'll talk about that. And all this, that, and all these other functions are examples are given in the lists topic in the F-sharp language reference. And there's also, you might want to also look at the collections.list module topic, which is the reference documentation for lists.
Okay, great. Thanks, Gordon.
Thank you.